Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you are at the airport for an early morning flight home, and Brad, I don't know what it must feel like. That was one of the weirdest, worst, horrible endings I think I've ever seen to a Bears game, and I've seen some bad, buddy.
Oh, boy. Yeah. They didn't deserve to win the game in the first place the way they played for the first three quarters, for sure. And then all of a sudden, we're in position to win the football game. And the Hail Mary at the end was a shame because defensively, I thought they played really well. Is there stuff that needed to be tightened up? Sure. But when you make the Commanders kick field goals on three trips inside your 10-yard line, you defend the end zone for the first 59 minutes and whatever it was, 47 seconds, your defense is got you in a position to win the game when you've only allowed 12 points, and it's right there for them. They could have a jubilant locker room afterward, talk about areas that need to be improved, and instead they were stunned. I think that's probably the best word to describe it.
With words or actions, Brad, how do you expect Matt Eberflus to respond to the fact that Tyreek Stevenson began the last play, the Hail Mary play, with his back to the line of scrimmage, taunting the Commanders crowd?
Yeah, that was really something, and had a perfect angle for it. Although I was in the opposite end zone, the sight line, it's low there, and so you've got a pretty good view. And pre-snap, I'm looking at it, and he's not even looking at the field, and I'm saying, well, what in the world is he doing? The game's not over. And then the ball snapped, and he didn't get turned around, guys, until that trio of targets on that side were at about the Bears' 25-yard line. So those guys had gone basically, they'd covered half the ground needed to get from the line of scrimmage to the goal line. And Jaden Daniels ended up running around so much that he was able to recover in time, but I don't know that he was in the right position. And in terms of responses from Matt Eberflus, I think the most important words he'll have to say will be in front of the entire team, right? What he says publicly, I'm curious. And then, you know, will actions follow? Because how do you have a hits philosophy and it be anything more than a clever little coaching acronym if you don't take action on
right.
something like that,
I'm
right?
With you.
Like, you know, Terrell Smith, you're next man up for a week or something, because I just it's unprofessional, inexcusable. You can attach just about any adjective you want to it.
Yeah, when I saw it, I actually thought of Bobby Valentine describing Starlin Castro during a Cubs game. You remember that he turned his back to the play. I don't know that we've ever really seen that happen in football. I mean, the play is ongoing, and he's pointing at someone, and then all of a sudden he runs over.
And he's posing, and
yes.
he's waving. Yeah, I mean, it was the whole, like, I mean, it was the whole thing, like.
And then dude. He ends up with the guy that hits the ball, and the ball goes up in the air, and he's got the assist on that play. What was that?
Hockey assist.
Yeah, there was no the Bears didn't have a guy in the end zone by the ball. By
who,
the time the ball came down,
who was that supposed to be? Was it supposed to be Brisker or
Tyler
Gordon?
They wouldn't.
They wouldn't say. Yeah,
they wouldn't say. Stevenson attacked the ball in the air from the side.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine that's the way it was drawn up. We'll see what Matt Eberflus says, but the Commanders had their tall guy in the middle there, Zach Ertz, the 6'5" tight end. He's the guy that's supposed to be the jump ball guy for them. And they were at the outer range for Jaden Daniels with a rib injury, right? Their own 48-yard line. He drops back, uncorks that from about his own 35, 36-yard line. The ball didn't quite make it to the end zone in the air. Gets there via the tip, but that free 13-yard play, they had the snap before that took only 4 seconds, put them in position. They could not have run a Hail Mary from the previous yard line.
Exactly. This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Brad, what are the realistic chances that Matt Eberflus takes away play-calling duties from Shane Waldron after that disastrous day and asks Thomas Brown to step in?
Oh, boy. I think it's a little early for that. I do. That one would probably catch me off guard. Thomas Brown called some plays last year in Carolina, and they thought it was going to be a solution there. And as you're well aware, no buttons that they pushed for the Panthers a year ago were any good. I'm not saying he wouldn't do better this time around, but that seems like a move that they would not be ready to make. At this point, they had won 3 consecutive games. Yeah, they came out and played very poorly. They couldn't convert on third down. And the thing that I looked at all week, really for 2 weeks, guys, because they're coming off the bye, I looked at this, I said, this is a really average defense. I mean, it's an average defense that Dan Quinn is squeezing the absolute most out of. But they've got Deron Payne up front. They've got Bobby Wagner, who's in year 13. He's 34 years old at linebacker. They got a bunch of dudes in the secondary I think they'd love to replace sooner rather than later, and the Bears couldn't get anything cooking.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing, professional tools made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Brad, who was more unprepared coming out of the bye, the players or the coaches?
I think they're both in it together. I really do. I mean, the coaches, the offensive coaches, I don't think they had a plan that I know they didn't have a plan that worked real well there. They finally got running the ball a little bit with DeAndre Swift there. In the players, the execution was not to a level that is acceptable. Again, defensively, they played really well.
Right.
If you take out the Hail Mary at the end, I thought they played. And the yardage that they ended up giving up wasn't indicative of how that game went. Washington got 52 on the Hail Mary, and they got another huge chunk on the final play of the first half, which was never a scoring threat. It was a 29-yard play for Austin Ekeler. So the yardage is a little bit skewed. But Torrey Taylor kept dropping the ball inside the 10-yard line, so they had field position advantage. Just disappointing all the way around. I can't remember the last time they lost on a walk-off touchdown in regulation. I do know the last time they lost on a Hail Mary, 2011, Kansas City Chiefs come in.
Yep.
Tyler Palko with a 38-yard toss to Dexter McCluster on the final play of the first half. You say, well, how'd they lose on that? They lost the game 10-3, and that was the only touchdown of the game.
Brad, I called it a coaching loss, but Ryan Poles also bears responsibility for having his lack of depth at offensive tackle exposed. Braxton Jones goes down. Karan Amagaji not ready for that challenge. What do they do on the offensive line now?
Well, Nate Davis might be sticking around longer than people thought. I figured Nate Davis was probably headed toward being released here in the near future, but they lost 3 guys yesterday. Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins went out twice with a knee injury. And then Bill Murray had a pec injury, and that's concerning because anytime you hear pec injury, those usually aren't good. Those often signal season ending. So they've got some depth issues there. Larry Borum returned to practice this past week, so he'll get another week of practice this week. Could be elevated in time for the Arizona game. He's played left tackle in the past. Matt Pryor, who started a right guard Looked like he'd be the swing tackle there through a lot of training camps, so he'd be an option. You'd have to replace him at right guard. So they've got some moving parts there. I don't know that I'd criticize Poles for the lack of depth at offensive tackle. They have options. They have gone through some injuries. It's not like most teams have a road grader just sitting behind the starting left tackle that's ready to step in at a moment's notice. And it's unfortunate for them because Braxton Jones may have been playing the best football of any lineman that they have, guys.
Is Sweat okay, Brad? We'll let you go, but is Sweat okay?
Yeah, he was. I saw Sweat leaving the locker room, guys, and had a little limp going on with the shin injury there. So that's one to keep an eye on this week for sure, because he makes a difference when he's out there.
Great stuff. Thank you, buddy. Have a great week.
Safe travels, Brad. Thanks.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.